This event happened during the siege of Jerusalem by Babylon around the year 558 BC, and it was because of Jeremiah's opposition to the policies of King Zedekiah's powerful advisors, who sought to gain complete independence for Judah by playing Egypt off against Babylon. With prophetic insight, Jeremiah saw that this would lead to the destruction of Judah at the hands of the Babylonians, which in fact it did. And so he urged the king to preserve the nation by coming to terms with the Babylonian king and paying him tribute. It was this unlawful stance he took that led him to be thrown into that cistern. Jeremiah's fate provides a prophetic precedent and context for Jesus' words in today's gospel. However, while Jeremiah urged a peace policy towards the Babylonians, Jesus provocatively states that he hasn't come to bring peace. This, of course, conflicts with the statement at the beginning of the gospel, the announcement of the heavenly host of the shepherds on the night of his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those who enjoy God's favor. However, we should recall that even in the same infancy narrative in Luke's gospel, the old man Simeon, in the second part of his oracle, had already foretold that, quote, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed." This gives us a clue to resolve the apparent contradiction between peace and fire. The peace that Jesus brings is not a glib or a shadow thing. It only becomes effective in the context of true conversion of heart. Jesus' message doesn't leave the depths of human beings untouched. Probing beneath a superficial pleasantness and acceptance, it brings deep-seated preferences, narrowness, and selfishness to the surface, where such negative qualities can be confronted and healed. But many resist the challenge of healing at this level. They react negatively, violently even, as we saw earlier in this gospel, when after his preaching in the temple, in the synagogue in Nazareth, the people ended up wanting to kill Jesus. What should be a message of peace ends up being a violent confrontation. This pattern is the background to Jesus' words in today's gospel. The increasing hostility to his message that he is encountering will come to a climax as he approaches Jerusalem, the city of his destiny. This leads him to see himself as a person who provokes prophetic hostility rather than peace. It almost seems as if the fire that he wants to cast on the earth is a propelling force within him. It seems best to understand the fire that Jesus says he's going to bring to the earth as the gift of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had prophesied that whereas he baptized with water, the coming one would baptize, quote, with the Holy Spirit and fire. And indeed, at Pentecost, the gathered disciples will receive the Spirit in the visible form, tongues of fire. But the Spirit cannot be given until Jesus has faced and gone through his destiny that awaits him in Jerusalem. This painful destiny, Jesus describes as a baptism that must be accomplished. He isn't using the word baptism with reference to our Christian sacrament. The Greek baptizo refers to being dipped in water. Jesus is speaking of baptism according to biblical usage, where being immersed in water and out of control is a standard image for being overwhelmed by trouble and hostility. Baptism, then, refers to the suffering and death that awaits him in Jerusalem. We have then a glimpse of the anguish Jesus is experiencing at this point in his mission. On the one hand, his passionate desire to communicate to people God's love and the experience of the Spirit. On the other hand, this communication of the Spirit can't take place until he has confronted and overcome, through his death and resurrection, the hostility to divine love that lurks in the human heart. He's caught in a terrible tension reaching deeply into family relationships. Hence, the startling message in including words of our gospel. Families are the best nurturing grounds for us, of course, but they can often keep people mired in prejudice and not freedoms that make us resistant to the gospel and following Jesus. To know Christ's peace, we have to challenge ourselves, confront our prejudices and our own freedoms. In other words, we must repent and believe in the good news. Please join me.